Tonight we're talking about Asher, and Asher is represented by the onyx. When I were younger, I used to call it oinx. It's onyx. O-N-Y-X.
It rings a bell, I think I must have done it as well. It rings a bell, that.
It's been psychic. Maybe.
Can you stay to the subject?
Yeah. Genesis chapter 30, verses 12 and 13.
Leah's maid Zilpah bore Jacob a second son. Then Leah said, "Happy am I, for women will call me happy." So she named him Asher.
Thanks, Bill. This was a second child of Leah's handmaid to Jacob, and Asher was born, and she called his name Asher because her statement was, "Happy am I," and in the authorised version it says, "Happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed." And she called his name Asher. Asher means happy or blessed. The Hebrew form of the name is actually Asher. Sounds French, doesn't it? A-S-H-E-R-E. And in Hebrew, the word is plural. And in the sense that Leah said it, it's plural. Because her inference was, because I'm happy, I'm going to call my child happy. He's going to be happy because I'm happy. And that's how it works in God's kingdom. It's always plurality. And I think it's exciting too, because where God's concerned, it's not two and two make four. It's, this is a bad example, isn't it? Two times two. That still makes four, doesn't it? But God is a God of multiplication.
3 plus 3 will work.
3 plus 3, we'll do 3 plus 3 is 6, 3 threes are 9.
Yay.
God's a God of multiplication. And that's what this inference is in the Hebrew form. Asher is plural. So what Leah was saying, what is mine is his. So my blessing is his blessing too. I'm happy and so he's happy. And it works too in God's kingdom very well. It's a Christian principle. And many times in the Old Testament, God said, "I will bless you and you will be a blessing." Mm-hmm. He said that to Abraham, didn't he? And he said in the New Testament in John 15, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy may be full. So it's reciprocated there between God and his children. 27 times in the Word of God, Asher is translated as blessed. But we should always look at it as, this might be a new word, it might be a made-up word, but it describes what we want to say. It's blessednesses, plural of blessings. It's a multiplication of blessings whenever you see that. It's not just one. 18 times the same word is translated happy, and it should read happy, very happy. So in Psalm 1 and verse 1, Bill, let's read that.
How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers.
Yeah. It's the first part there. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. The blessednesses of the man who listens to God. Well, God's instruction is always the right instruction. If you listen to the ungodly, you'll go way off track. We don't need to even entertain what the ungodly thinks about most of the things in life. There's just, it's light and darkness, isn't it? God's ways are far superior, but totally different to man's ways, and this is what we need to be listening to. And walking in obedience brings abundance of blessings. I was on Sunday, Rebecca said to me, she's got a bread maker, and last week she said, I made a loaf and it came out as sad can be. So I said, what did you do? she said, well, I didn't have all the right ingredients, so I just improvised. So we said to her, it's really important if you want this bread to come out good that you use the exact ingredients in the recipe. So on Saturday night, she had another go. But on Saturday night, she misread the instructions. And instead of putting 350 milligrams of water, she put 500 milligrams.
Oh, wow.
Or millilitres, whatever it is. She put too many in. And so a bread came out, just yuck. So I got a text from her yesterday and she said, check this out. And she'd taken a photograph of this loaf and it looked delightful. It was like up here. And it was all nice. The texture, she even took a photograph of the texture of it. She said, what do you think to that? And I texted her about it. I said, it's amazing what happens when you follow the instructions, isn't it, Rebecca? So that's just a simpler illustration. When God says do something, do it. When he says don't do it, he's not out to kill your joy. He's out to protect you. It's for your good. So follow the instructions and you'll be blessed with blessing upon blessing. I know we quote this quite a lot, but people say, I can't afford to give to God. Can I tell you, you can't afford not to give to God. Because I sat down when I was preparing this and I thought, I am so blessed. Why am I so blessed, God?
Because you bless other people.
And God says, because you'll give, because you listen, because you're in the Word. And that all brings its blessings. And God wants to bless us. Psalm 32 and verse 1.
How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered.
Thanks, Bill. Blessed is the man whose sin is covered. God's immeasurable grace. In the old covenant, it was a covering, wasn't it? But boy, in the new covenant, we are a brand new man, completely new. And if that's not blessedness, I don't know what is. And so, he says here that he is crowned with blessing and joy upon joy. We don't know what we've got. If we did, we'd never be miserable. We'd never have a long face. We'd never moan. If we really knew and understood, and if it got from here down to here, who we are and how blessed and happy we should be of all the people in the earth. In Joel chapter 2, and I want us to read a few verses here. It's one that is in the Minor Prophets, right at the end of the Old Testament. Joel chapter 2.
Do not fear, O land, rejoice and be glad, for the Lord has done great things. Do not fear, beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness have turned green. For the tree has borne its fruit, the fig tree and the vine have yielded in full. So rejoice, O sons of Zion, and be glad in the Lord your God, for he has given you the early rain for your vindication, and he has poured down for you the rain, the early and latter rain as before. The threshing floors will be full of grain, and the vats will overflow with the new wine and oil. Then I will make up to you for the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the creeping locust, the stripping locust, and the gnawing locust, my great army which I sent among you. You will have plenty to eat and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. Then my people will never be put to shame. Thus you will know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and there is no other, and my people will never be put to shame.
That's fabulous.
Oh, it's amazing, isn't
it? Just fantastic. Mm. If that is not an abundance of blessednesses, and if that would not make us happy, very, very happy, I don't know what would. It is just magnificent. It's all about restoration and God restoring to you the years that the locust has eaten. We've all had years that the locust has eaten, but God says, I'm restoring these to you. You need to know, you need to look for it, You need to believe it. You need to trust me for it. Because what I say, this word is a covenant. Amen. It's the most powerful thing that can ever be given to us. And God is committed to this covenant. He's committed with blood. There's a verse in verse 22. It says the tree has borne its fruit. And what that actually means is the tree of Calvary has borne its fruit. And because it's borne its fruit, then we can enter into all this duplication and all this multiplication from God, this abundance from God, because it all comes out from that tree at Calvary. It all comes out from Jesus. And when he died, we died. Everything that applies to him applies to us. We need to grasp a hold of it and thank God for it and look for it and be excited at what God's given us. Psalm 103. We'll just read verses 1 to 5, please.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name.
Yeah.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. Who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle.
Every aspect of our lives is covered here.
Mm-hmm.
God's taken care of it all. The second verse, the third verse, who pardons all your iniquities. Full restoration. There's nothing against us that the devil can bring or anybody else. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things have passed away. I've been born again. More than a conqueror. That's who I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man.
Amen.
Praise God. Mercy and forgiveness. Health and wholeness. Tenderness and love. Abundance of good things. And renewal of our youth. Is that blessednesses upon blessednesses upon blessednesses? It really is. Looking at Asher, Asher was a very prosperous tribe, and we'll find that just a bit later as we go through this. But I want to look at Jacob's blessing in Genesis 49 and verse 20.
As for Asher, his food shall be rich, and he will yield royal dainties.
Does it say more on about Asher there? Though? No, it doesn't.
Naphtali after that.
Thank you. Out of Asher, his bread shall be fat, and he shall yield royal dainties. The tribe of Asher lived in the most fertile part of the country, and living like kings, they enjoyed its fruits. It was an abundantly fruitful part of the land. And here we see that Asher represents those people who feed on the finest of the wheat. They know a living and abiding relationship with the Lord. They're feeding daily on the word of God and can say like Job in Job 32 and verse 12, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Spiritual food, they yearn more than natural food, because they know the benefits of living in that relationship with God. And Christ, we know, is the bread of life. There's a fatness there and a high quality, a kingly quality that satisfies the hungry soul. David said, my soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness. And again, he says, they shall abundantly be satisfied with the abundance of your house. If we're living in this word, we're living in communion with the Lord, we should be satisfied with the abundance of God's house. We won't have to ask for things. We won't be lacking. It'll just be there, always blessed. Not having to go searching. It's God will bring it to us. He'll make sure that blessings are across our path. So in the natural, if we eat healthily, then we live healthily. So we keep getting told. And it's the same in the spiritual. If you eat healthily in the spiritual, then you will live, you will prosper spiritually and you'll prosper naturally. It's the same thing, isn't it? The natural and then the spiritual. There's always a lesson, a spiritual lesson in a natural example. Asha yield royal dainties, an abundance of wholesome, attractive and appetising foods. The thought that came to me here was that when we come to God's house, we need to be fed on solid food. Mm. You know, Paul says that when you're on milk, you're babies. Mm. And it's necessary that we all grow up spiritually, and we can only do that when we get the strong meat of the word. And that's what we need to get whenever we come to the house of the Lord. We need to be fed. Our spirits need to be fed. But it's no good just getting the word, because the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. And I'm not saying that the word of God is dead, because it isn't. God's word is powerful and active, and it separates soul and spirit and bone and marrow. But I also know intellectual people can read the word of God and can totally misread it and not hear what's being said. The spirit is not alive to God. They've no awareness of the Spirit of God, and they read the Bible as just another book and never get... You know, until you're born again, your spirit's not alive, is it?
Yeah.
You can't hear God until you're born again. And so, we should, when we come to the house of God, we also need to hear the Spirit of God. It needs to be a church where the Spirit of God is given place and given room to manifest and to listen to him, so that we know what the Spirit of God is saying, that we're encouraged and learn to listen to the voice of the Spirit of God, because that will strengthen us also. It's no good going to a church that merely stimulates your senses. It's no good going to church and just getting an emotional high or a religious high, because then it's of no spiritual value. And we do know people, don't we? I think this church has been dead on its feet because people have come for religious high, for a religious high. That is of no value. Your spirit's not going to grow, you're not going to develop. And it's the same when you go to a church that's got all the flashing lights and all the rest of it. That is not going to score any points with you spiritually. You're just going to come out saying, yeah, the worship was good, but there's no food there. There's nothing to sustain your spirit or bless you in any way. So there's no substitute for the Word of God and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's important that we feed on good spiritual food so that we've royal dainties to share with one another and with people that we meet. We are blessed to be a blessing. Mm. And we can't be a blessing if we've not first been blessed ourselves. That's the whole purpose of God blessing us, so that we can in turn bless others. So let's be aware and ask the Holy Spirit for opportunities to share what God's given us and to bless somebody as God has blessed us. And it's amazing what situations God will bring across your path, and you'll think, whoa, God, if we don't ask, we're not going to receive, are we? And I think it's good to sort of pray in the morning and say, God, bring somebody across my path today that I can bless, and then watch out for them. Expect somebody to come across your path. If we don't set any goals, how are we going to see anything happen? You know, let's inspire one another. Let's be inspired too. The blessing of Moses on this tribe is in Deuteronomy 33.
Of Asher, he said, more blessed than sons in Asher, may he be favoured by his brothers, and may he dip his foot in oil. Your locks will be iron and bronze, and according to your days, so will your leisurely walk be.
And of Asher, Moses said, let Asher be blessed. It says with his children, but the actual translation, the original, says in his children. Let Asher be blessed in his children. And it's a lovely thought here. Asher was blessed through his children who were to reap their benefits from him. What sort of benefits are we leaving for our children? Spiritual benefits. And for us that don't have natural children, what benefits are we leaving for our spiritual children? We all have children to leave a benefit to. Asher was rich in his experience, and he became such an avenue of blessing that generations in the future would call him blessed. His children and his grandchildren and his descendants would thank God for the richness of character and blessing that he brought into their lives. We're never going to build Christian character if we don't spend time in the Word. It's the Word that develops our character, and that's where all of it comes from. And I look and I think how privileged those of us are that had godly parents, because they left us a great rich, they brought a great richness into our lives, and they left a legacy in our lives of richness. We need to thank God for every remembrance of them. It's important to stay with our great Asher and experience his blessedness, that we can leave a blessing for the generations to come. Isaiah 54 says, more are the children of the barren woman than she who has an husband. So none of us are exempt. You don't have to be married here to have spiritual children. You know, we're all at an age when kids look up to us, and we need to invest in these kids some spiritual food and give them a legacy. And we're only going to do it by abiding in the vine. Our barren nation can blossom again. How? Through the richness of God and his blessing in our lives. And it's, you know, a skinny, emaciated Christian has nothing to give. They're no different to the world, are they? They blend in. We used to have a poster, it said, don't blend in. We don't need to be blending in, we need to stand out. And we need to be known that they're God's kids. And you know how I know? Because they're blessed. They all knew that Abraham belonged to God, didn't they? Because he was blessed. And how many more in the scriptures were so exceedingly abundantly blessed? Job was. And that everybody knew where his blessing came from, his relationship with God. So you can't fail to be blessed if you keep God at the forefront. Let him be acceptable to his brother, to his brethren. Often, whether you're successful materially or spiritually, it brings jealousy. You see with David and Saul. Saul lost the anointing and David was to be his, take his place on the throne. Samuel had anointed David to be king and Saul hated him. He despised him. He was jealous of him and saw every way he could to kill him. He was going to have David's life come what may. But God had other plans. There's no way the evil in Saul could overcome God's plan. And that's encouraging. God has a plan for your life. The devil can't stop it. God's in charge. So, you know, we've had our challenges this week and I sat back and I said, well, God, eventually I said to him, it's over to you because you put us here. So you're going to have to defend us. You're going to have to work it all out. And he does. But he needs us to give him and to trust him and to give it to him. But for Asher, it was to be different. He wasn't to be jealous. He was to be accepted by his brethren. And that is perfectly true. He was accepted by his brethren. He was very happy with his brethren. And he was not cursed at all. Let him dip his foot in oil. Naturally speaking, the tribe of Asher was blessed with olive groves that produced an abundance of oil from the olives. So they were blessed with an abundance of olive oil. They were also exceedingly abundantly blessed with oil wells. Wow, wow, wow. They produce, well, thousands of gallons a day of oil within their boundaries. And so naturally they were blessed. But greater by far was the spiritual blessing, and is the spiritual blessing that is on us. You can have all the wealth and the riches of the oil barons, but tell me, if you don't know God, have you got anything?
No.
You're not going to live forever. And these oil barons are going to die. And at some point, this short span that we are here is nothing compared to eternity. So I'm not exchanging what I've got in God for all the wealth that those oil barons have got. Because it ain't worth that when it comes to eternal values. I love this verse. Isaiah 52 and verse 7.
How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who announces peace and brings good news of happiness, who announces salvation and says to Zion, your God reigns.
Oh,
man. What more beautiful what better news can you give to somebody that your God reigns? He brings good tidings. He saves you from your sins. He brings you peace. If that's not good news, then I don't know what is. It was good news to me. Was it good news to you, Bill?
Isn't this a song?
Yeah. Yeah. How lovely are the feet of...
Who brings good news.
Yeah.
Who brings pain and peace.
Yeah.
We've got everything we need, haven't we?
We've everything we need. We're just not claiming it. We're just not expecting it. We're just not walking in it. I think it's so much of it's up here, and we need it to be in our spirit, to walk in the revelation of what God has given us. Going back to the feet here, how beautiful upon the mountains the feet of him who brings good news. I want to leave a spiritual footprint. You know, we're always rabbiting on about our carbon footprint, aren't they? Well, I'm not bothered about that. God's taken well care. He knew all about my carbon footprint and he made provision for it. The earth is not going to, tip over because of my carbon footprint. When God created the heavens and the earth, he knew every man that'd be living on this earth. He knew all the rubbish that we'd create. He knew all the pollution that we'd bring. And he took it all into his calculations and he said, it is good. It is very good. And as long as the earth remains, and it will remain, we shall have the seasons, seed time and harvest, spring and summer. Everything will remain. Everything is in place. God's got his hand on everything. Man does not need to be concerned. All he wants to do is tax you. But that's another subject. But here we have, let's leave a spiritual footprint. And I've got to think of those who did leave spiritual footprints. George Murray. All those orphans that he took in and fed and looked after. And he had no money. But what did they do every day? They prayed in the provision. And miraculous provision appeared. When they opened the door, there'd be food on the step. It was just God's miraculous provision. We need to, if you're bored and you want something good to read, you know, find a book on George Muller. And it's so encouraging. Our God answers prayer and he hears our cry. He knows everything we need and he provides. I think of the Wesleys. Susanna Wesley. She had all those kids and she could have been really busy. Well, she would be really busy. They didn't have washing machines and bringing up, it's bad enough too, bringing up 17, was she have 17 kids?
17 or 19, I don't
know. She had in the teens, wasn't it? The high teens. She had all those children. But she had time for God. And what did she do? She used to throw a penny over her head. And the kids knew when the penny was over Mummy's head, you didn't interrupt her. You didn't bother her. You left her alone. She was talking to higher authority and it was for your good, in more than one way, to leave her alone. She wanted to hear what God had to say. But what a spiritual imprint she left with her children. Just fantastic. John Wesley, who was the great preacher and founded the Methodists. And Charles Wesley, who was a fabulous hymn writer. And yeah, just a wonderful legacy she left. Hudson Taylor, we've talked about him before, went to China. And look at the size of the church in China. Who would have believed that there could be such a huge church in that country? It seemed it was hostile to God, close to God. But nowhere's close to God. Nothing's impossible with God. If he says do it, and we're back to obedience, do it. If it looks impossible, don't back off. He's going to open the door. He'll make the way. All he asks of you is walk. Just walk. And, you know, this week I've been reminded again of that. What did I say to you? You're leaving Egypt for the land that you are to possess, that God has given you. So I said, God, they can't kick us out because you said this was our land to possess. And all you said to us was, leave Egypt and walk. And we've left Egypt and we've walked. So you're our defence. You will fight for us. You will fight our corner. And he will. Just do as he says. Smith Wigglesworth, what a legacy he left. Mm. Signs, wonders and miracles. Was he afraid of the devil?
No.
He knew what was in him, didn't he? Mm-hmm. He knew, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And he didn't care what he faced. Yeah. He had to bow the knee to the name of Jesus. You know, we need to be radical. We need to be reaching out in missions. We need to be enlarging our vision. We can't be insular and self-centred. We've got to move out. We've got to ask God for a vision, for a focus, for a purpose, for a goal. Stretching our tent pegs. Yeah. We've got to stretch our tent pegs. We need to leave a legacy. I am determined I shall leave a legacy for the next generation. Not that I want anything. I don't care if they don't remember me, but if they see something that was done, if I only prayed it into being and they knew nothing of those prayers, let that legacy be seen in Jesus' name. He said, thy shoes shall be iron and brass. Elsewhere in the word, shoes is translated bolts or bars. And the suggestion here is a strong fortification, a trampling underfoot of evil. Your shoes shall be iron and brass. You will trample underfoot that devil, every demonic force that raises its head, that tries to get up from the ground, you will tread it down. And what does it say in Psalm 91 and verse 13?
You will tread upon the lion and cobra, the young lion and the serpent you will trample down.
There you go. Under our feet. Where's the devil?
Under our feet.
Under our feet. Everything that is opposing God is from the pit and it's under our feet. And we need to stand on it. We can't afford to get into an argument with him, don't get into discussion with him, just trample on him, because that's what God did. He bruised his head. So trample the enemy underfoot, but you're never going to do it unless you're in the Word of God. The Word of God is the strength. God's given us the armour, hasn't he?
Yeah.
And he said use it. And the armour comes, part of the armour is the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, which is your shield. Yeah, the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, believing what God says and putting that in front of us. Praise God. God wants us to know who we are and the powerful authority that lies within us. Because yeah, we are blessed and all these blessings are coming to us, and God says they'll come and they'll overtake us. We are so blessed. But sometimes there's a devil out there who's out to rob, to kill, to steal and to destroy. And the choice lies with us. Are we going to side with God or the devil? Are we going to let him kill, steal and destroy? Or are we going to say, no, it is written, it is written. This is the most powerful word you can ever give the devil. This is your sword. Just hit him with it and stand in faith, because he'll come toppling down. Definitely. Definitely. And finally, Moses was blessing on him was, as thy days shall so shall thy strength be. In the original text, this verse reads, as thy days thy strength. A strength, now all of us get this, he has given us a strength which will last as long as our days. A strength which, like our days, is ever increasing. So the older you get, the stronger you should get, because your strength comes as your days increase. So the natural is that your strength declines as you get older, but the spiritual is that your strength increases as you get older.
Oh, I like the sound of that.
So let's go for it, folks. We need to quit saying, oh, it's my age, I'm old, I'm not as strong as I used to be. We know we're back to what we say, aren't we? We're so quick to pick the world's ways up, and it's a lifetime's habit. Oh, she's old, she can't do this any longer. But if we're looking for that, we'll get that. If we're looking for our strength to increase the older we get, well, let's go for it. We've everything to gain. Let's do it. God says he renews our youth. And he says he increases our strength every day. So I'm going for stronger. I'm going to be stronger as I get older. And he's going to renew my youth, because he says he will. So there's no suggestion of fluctuating strength according to age. God promises that our strength will never fail as long as we're here in time. And finally, the onyx. In the Bible, this stone is spoken of as being precious and brilliant. But the onyx that we know today is neither. If I'm right, is it a dull green, marbly type of stone that's boring? That's onyx. It does not fit the description of the Bible, precious and brilliant. But it did describe Asher. The Hebrew for onyx is shoham, S-H-O-H dash H-A-M, shoham. And it's derived from a root word meaning to shine with the luster of fire and a flashing forth of splendour. Who does that describe? There's only one person that comes to me when I read that. A flashing forth of splendour and a luster of fire. Revelation chapter 1, verses 12 to 16.
Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the middle of the lampstands, I saw one like a son of man, clothed in a robe, reaching to the feet, and girded across his chest with a golden sash. His head and his hair were white, like white wool, like snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, when it has been made to glow in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of many waters. In his hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in its strength.
That's my Jesus. What power. What, you know, we sing that song, the splendour of the King, and clothed in majesty. Let all the earth rejoice. He had a two-edged sword in his mouth. We've got a two-edged sword to put in our mouths, haven't we? We've got the full armour of God in Ephesians 6. We're fully equipped to overcome every obstacle and to rule and reign on the earth. And that's exactly what God's intention is for us. And I say, Let's do it. Amen.
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 We are blessed to be a blessing. The earth may be dark, but let me tell you this. God's not finished with this earth.
No.
He wants us to shine forth in splendour and to bring blessing on the earth. It may be dark, it may be evil, but evil can never overcome good. Good always wins through. That means God always wins through. That means we always win through. Hey, I'm a winner.
Yeah.
Amen.
I'm into that.
So I can say no more, but get on with it. Let's do it. I know Andrew once, he had to lift a really big, heavy telly. And he said, God, I can't do this on my own. I need divine strength.
Yeah, I do that, Grace.
Do you, John?
Yeah, because I can't. I just have to do things, and sometimes I can't do it on my own, and I have to ask the Lord to help me. And he does. In fact, I went to Mobile Wardrobe at Sue's, and she says, Joan, what did you do? I says, I didn't do anything, I just asked the Lord. It moved so quick, she thought it was me.
That's the only way that our strength can increase, because naturally it doesn't. But we've got to walk in God's ability, in God's strength. We've got to stop leaning on our own strength, haven't we? Because it fails us.
Mm.
But if we walk in his strength and his ability, I can do all things. We're back to this scripture again. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yeah, we're going to reach a barrier. We're going to sort of, our limitations are there. But we can go beyond that if we step into the spiritual realm. We can do everything.
I thought when you said, Grace, about us going into a promised land, it's maybe the giants that's rearing their heads.
Oh, they won't want us here, John. They'll do they'll do absolutely everything to stop us.
We try
they
to.
They will, but they won't.
They won't succeed.
I was reading the other day about Goliath and David. Just a bit interesting here it was. Goliath's name means expose, humiliate, shame, strip, and exile. Now, isn't that the devil all over?
Mm.
He wants to strip you of everything and imprison you.
Mm.
That is a description of the devil to a T. And David went off, he escaped from Saul, and he went to Ramah, which means the high place, and he went to a place called Naoth, and the root word is rest. He went to rest in the high place. You know, there's some beautiful meanings if you look behind the word.
Yeah. I think with Asher, his name meant it brought something with him, because you remember in Ruth, when Naomi, she named sickness and all sorts of things. I mean, so when you shout it name all the time, it's bound to be some
sickness.
It's bound to speak, because his words are powerful, aren't they? So when she called him happy, it really...
It made him happy. He was happy. He became a happy, blessed kid.
Yeah.
So we should speak blessings over our kids, shouldn't we, and not curses.
Mm.
No need to be shouting at them, you'll never be any good. They never will be any good.
I don't think we've got what we've got, really. I'm reading today about Paul, where he said it's a mystery. I mean, it's still a mystery to me, because we don't know half what. I was reading that today, what you said about we don't know half what we've got.
Mm-hmm.
We don't really. We don't understand what we've got.
I think we've become really familiar with the scriptures, and it's just going over our heads. It just comes off our tongue, but it never really gets into our spirit. You only get that by meditating it, don't you?
Mm.
Chewing it and dissecting it, going over it and over it and over it, until you're like, it's like, well, it is chewing it.
Mm.
And that way it gets into your spirit. But that takes time, and that's something that all of us will struggle with, I think. It's like there's so many demands. Here, there. You know, people who can have got time to spend and meditate. But then again, you can meditate if the devil wakes you up in the night. Well, meditate the word of God, I do. Chew it, chew it, chew it. Get every opportunity. Ask God for opportunities, and He'll give you. We need to rely on Him for everything, absolutely everything.
That's when we enter into the rest, isn't it? When we're not doing it, we're not doing anything. We just know God's doing everything, so we just walk on and just enter into His rest.
It's His path.
You've got to strive to enter the rest, though. So it's something you've got to really strive. Yeah,
it's
going.
It's a good thought, that, John.
Yeah, you do. You just strive to enter into the rest. Yeah, so it's not a thing you just think, oh, I mean, I'm resting. It's not that. It's
not. That's not the human nature, is it?
No.
That's not the way of the human. The way of God is rest. The Prince of Peace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we live in a world of so much turmoil,
yeah,
and hear news, and yet Jesus says, I am the Prince of Peace.
Yeah.
My peace I live with you.
Yeah.
And so we have to begin then to receive that peace, that even in a world of turmoil, we're at rest.
Mm-hmm.
We're at peace. And we don't get drawn into the things that are temporal.
Mm.
Because we are children of the eternal.
Yeah.
And so we resist the temporal and strive to enter into the eternal. And as we do that, we'll know the great peace of God, and we'll see God moving in power.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that is what God wants for us. That in that, those circumstances, in the doing of those things, we shall see God moving mightily.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's in that that we are trusting totally in God.
Mm.
And our reliance is upon God. And that no matter what happens, we will remain in there. You know,